this today.
It's working big, huh?
Yes, definitely.
The most revealing on this visual track that this call was coming.
Which was?
That the reason Krishna rescued him from the well, and they got to see Krishna, was because he had given charity to everybody to build the temple.
And to purchase books, he somehow or another he got the blessings of a devotee. Because otherwise he was engaged just in material, pious activities. And when one is engaged in material pious activities, the results that one get are material piety. Naturally, because it's ultimately Krishna's reciprocation. But somehow or another, although he was charitably disposed by divine providence, he ended up doing... Why are you leaving? By divine providence, that giving in charity was somehow, the charitableness was placed in the hands of a great soul. And because of that fact, for him it was somewhat, for the king, it was somewhat indiscriminate. He wasn't specifically giving charity to a great devotee, but that was one of the charities he was giving. So from the point of view of the king, there is some indiscriminateness. From the point of view of the great soul, of the great devotee, he had a beautiful deity, and he wanted to do something for his deity, build him a nice temple. And he also wanted some holy books. So he was so happy that someone had reciprocated with his desire. And this king was so charitable, said, yes, yes, we'll build you a temple, we'll give you these holy books. So he was very, very pleased. The holy man was very pleased. The great devotee was pleased. And his response was, oh, you will see Krishna because of this. So as soon as he said, you will see Krishna because of this, the desire to see Krishna entered his heart. And there's no indication he specifically had that desire before. If one does material charity, again, one generally has the desire, if he's on a very higher platform, just to do the right thing, or a bit of a lower platform, there's a fruit of desire in there. There's actual proportions that if you give charity to this kind of a person, you get back five times as much. Or if you give charity to that kind of a person, you get back still more. So often people give charity because it has a better return than the interest rate in the bank. But that, of course, isn't a very high reason to give charity. It is because if we can somehow please a devotee, we can please Krishna, that's exactly what the devotee is looking for, the person is looking for. And this is in one sense the great transformation that has to occur in a soul, within the depths of a soul, that conditioned life basically means selfish life, self-centered life. It means a life based on false ego, a false sense of who we are, where we are the center of that life. And that's truly illusion, because we're not the center of anything other than our illusion. We're not the center of the world. We're not the center of... Even we try to be the center of our life, and we can't even be the center of our own life. We end up having to do things. We have that horrible creation known as a boss, something like that. Do you know that even and jobs. Even this whole thing about, you know, jobs and the politicians, they're always saying we have to create jobs. This is actually just a new creation prior to the Industrial Revolution. Maybe, what is, how many, 150, 200 years ago, there was no such thing as a job. And no one worked from 9 to 5 and had to go, you know, travel 45 minutes or an hour to work and 2 hours to work or whatever and come back. People grew food and things like that in their backyards, practically speaking. So material life means to be in the illusion that I have to act in such a way that I will be pleased. And spiritual life is realistic because it places the proper person to please directly in the center. And that proper person to please is
Krishna.
Yes. That is the ultimate of spiritual life. To somehow please Krishna. And then when the mood of pleasing him is exalted too, then, and that's what Mahaprabhu is teaching, how to please Krishna in the most exalted of moods, then the highest perfection can be attained. So, King Riga, somewhat indiscriminately in his piousness, in his goodness, because charity is a good thing. And the Bhagavad Gita says that charity should never be given up, even if one is quite perfect. Even if one is in the renounced order, still one should be charitable. And actually it was the mood of when Maharaj Prataparudra spoke after the Rath Yatra ceremony festival, where Mahaprabhu was finally pleased with him, and he, Maharaj Prataparudra, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, he wouldn't give an audience to a king. Why wouldn't he give an audience? Why wouldn't he see the king privately?
Damage his reputation.
Yeah, but it's something. But why does it damage the reputation? What's
the king is materialistic.
Right, but what's the danger?
Danger is that he becomes jealous.
What's the compromise?
What's the compromise? Well, what happens if you see? What happens if you, if a great powerful king walked in here? What would we might be afraid or something. But aside from that, huh?
What a king concept.
Yeah, well, that would be pretty frightening, wouldn't it? We'd also say, excuse me, oh yes, how do you think I have another appointment right now? But aside from that, if someone who is very, very wealthy comes in, everyone subtly or grossly, what you can get from them, and you start. And what does a king have? He has power. He has money. He has this and this and that. So the infection of increasing my desires for these things, it tends to increase in the association of money, etc. So the devotees will tend to keep away from these things, and of course, this is as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict on this. And then, on the other hand, there's the example that that Srila Prabhupada said, where because in those days people lived completely the spiritual practitioners, like when Mahaprabhu was going from after he took sannyas, he first stopped at the house of Advaitacharya, and then a few devotees came with him. When he was going to Jagannath Puri, and he asked them, "Do any of you have a second piece of cloth with you?" And they said, "No." And then he said, "Good." This is how, because renunciation, it causes one to depend on Krishna, because when we have so many things with us, we tend to depend on those things instead of Krishna. And of course, that's illusion, because the things of this world are undependable. One can't successfully depend on them, because they're just material things. And illusion is thinking that we can find shelter in those things. But reality is we can't. So in any case, when Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Maharaj Pratapurudra's devotion, he was dancing at Rathyatra in complete ecstasy. And he lost sense of who he was, and he fainted to the ground in his ecstasy. Can you imagine how enwrapped he was in his relationship with Krishna, that he fainted? Usually when we're chanting, we're just enwrapped in our mind. We don't actually have very much association with the holy names when we're chanting. It's just me and my mind. That's the great event. It's me and my mind, just like usual. But of course, the chanting of the holy names will gradually dissolve that. But in any case, Mahaprabhu, in his relationship with Krishna, as he was chanting at Rathyatra, he fainted and to the ground, and Maharaj Pratapurudra just naturally just picked him up, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally was very upset. Oh, I've been touched by a worldly person. And then he moved away and left very quickly. And Maharaj Pratapurudra, he thought, oh no, I've done something terrible, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had basically rejected him, it appeared. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a very internal devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meaning he understood the internal mood, he said, no, he's actually pleased with you. Because if he didn't want you to do that, he wouldn't have fainted right in front of you. But just to teach the other renunciants, he's acted in this way. So then the very next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the garden, the Jagannath Balabh Gardens. Well, very soon after that, while the Rathyatra was still going on, and they told the devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had Maharaj Pratapurudra dress up, remove his kingly attire, and dress up as a mendicant. And while Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy in the garden, King Pratapurudra, supported by the devotees, began to massage the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the legs and the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu allowed him to do this because he was in internal consciousness. So very, very few devotees ever got this opportunity. Govinda, his servant, used to massage his feet and legs. So the king was in ecstasy, and he began to recite from the 31st chapter of the 10th canto, the Gopi Gita, describing the gopis' mood of separation, when Krishna had disappeared from the rasa dance, separation was so much the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in Rathyatra. So when he got up to the verse, Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kaviviridhidap kama sapam shravana mangalam shimanatatam bhuvigulanti ye burida janana, when the gopis are describing the glories of Krishna Kata, and Mahaprabhu heard him and said, burida janana, you are the one who's giving. That's what the gopis said, that you're giving the most wonderful thing, you're the most munificent welfare worker, the most generous of all people, of all charitable persons. Because then Mahaprabhu, he stood up and said, "You are the most charitable. You are the most charitable." Because he was giving Krishna katha. He was pouring the nectar of Krishna within his ears. So there's different kinds of charitableness. So that Mahaprabhu considered the highest of charity, because it carries one out of this world. That type of charity brings us the greatest benefit. Charity is good when a needy person is given something that is truly for his benefit. So that which is truly beneficial is that which brings the greatest relief and the greatest positive result. So what could be more wonderful than a person who is in the mood of neediness for associating with Krishna, which that was specifically Mahaprabhu's mood. It was a mood of neediness, separation. The whole world was appearing empty to him because Krishna wasn't there. And there, Maharaj Pratapurusa was pouring the nectar of Krishna Katha, which is none different from Krishna, in his ear, and he became ecstatic, and he actually embraced the king at that time, saying, "You are the most munificent, you are the most munificent, you are the most munificent." And the king went into a complete ecstatic rapture. So, for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed that example of complete neutrality when it came to the material, anything to do with the material and energy, neutrality for themselves, detachment, not renunciation exactly, but vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Complete detachment. I don't have a connection with this. Just like when you walk into a big, big store, that there may be, we may have so many things that we see that we would like to have, but we actually have no connection with any of these things. They don't belong to us. As soon as we think that something is ours, we will be arrested for shoplifting unless we pay for it. So similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada exhibited perfect detachment when it came to the material world, but understanding who everything belonged to, and strongly, very strongly insisting that everything should be used in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada even once said that there was a picture, and I actually did see this picture one time, of that Ramakrishna, so-called Paramhams, when someone is offering him money, he's going like this. And Prabhupada said that you can take a picture of me, someone is offering money, and I'll be going like this. Because this money should be used, it must be used for Krishna. That is the proper use of Lakshmi in the service of Narayan. So this king, King Riga, he by chance, due to his very very good nature, because this is also described in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that esam tvantakata papam jananam punya karmanam, that one is a punya. One has a lot of piety, it attracts the mercy of a saintly person. And it attracts the mercy. But then again, Prabhupada is a different example of that. Instead of going where the pious were, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mosam Apatita Prabhu Napai Bayard, that you've come to deliver the most fallen, and this is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. If the more we are in the mood of neediness, the more we are in the mood of neediness, the more the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be attracted to us, just like the negative pole of the magnet attracts the positive. So, in any case, this King Nriga made his mistake. That was also a point that struck me, that he had done so many pious things, and when one is on the path of punya karma, it is not possible, because it's the material world, to do it perfectly. So the result of all one's endeavors to act fully, properly, and to gain future benefits through piety always will come to ruin, because the very nature of the material world is to subvert and turn upside down. It will pollute and contaminate, and there's always so many mistakes that are made. So always we get into trouble, no matter how good we tried to be. It's just the very nature of the material world. It is a very dangerous place. So King Nriga, somehow or another, when he was benedicted by that pious person, by that great devotee, what entered his heart was the desire, entered his heart as consciousness, was the desire to see Krishna. And this is the effect of sadhu sangha. The desires are supposed to change, of course, according to our receptivity and according to the potency of the sadhu sangha. But our desires are supposed to change. And that changing of desires is the essence of taste, one can say, is practically speaking the bhakti lata bija, the seed of devotional service, pure devotional service. So ever since that point, King Nriga was wishing to see the Lord, and although by a quirk of fate, when a cow from one Brahmana, who Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said was wealthy enough, and he had vowed not to accept any charity from anyone anymore. So when King Nriga offered him, when his cow wandered into the herd that he gave away, and therefore he was in so much trouble, and King Nriga offered him 10,000 or 100,000 cows in return for that one cow, he said no, because I vowed that I will not accept charity anymore. So because of that, King Nriga had to become a lizard because of his just quirk of fate mistake that he made by giving away charity that didn't actually belong to us, to him. Because of that, he became a lizard, which is such a lowly creature. But because he had in his consciousness the desire to see Krishna, because of that, that transcendental opulence had taken its birth in his consciousness, because of that, he maintained that desire, which is what the Bhagavad Gita says, that whatever progress we make on the spiritual path, that is cumulative, far, far different from any material benefit that we may gain in this world, which ends with the final burning or burying of the material body. It goes, all the relationships that we have, all our bank balance and our fame and our degrees and our property or whatever, it's gone when we move on to another body. We leave it behind. But this, the spiritual gain remained with him. So not only did he have the desire, even as a lizard, he maintained the desire to see Krishna. And also he retained the knowledge of his previous birth too. And he said that was because of that one overriding desire that he had to see Krishna, that was burning ever so brightly in his heart as time went on. So that's the benefit of the negative. When things in life can become negative for us, and of course that's very frustrating, but the material nature is so constructed to make things frustrating for us, despite our dreams of making a peaceful settlement and a happy settlement somewhere in this world. It's designed from the topmost place of Brahma Bhuvanala Gapuna Bhutananda to the lowest place. It's designed to give us trouble in so many different forms. Trouble by nature, it's too cold or it's too hot. Like in Vrindavan, it goes so quickly from too hot before Kartik, then you get like 3 weeks or something like that where the weather is very nice, and then suddenly it's too cold. You get just like this break of 3 weeks and you think, oh, now I can really enjoy life. So you only get 3 weeks, and then it gets really cold, and then it gets after the cold breaks, and you're praying for warmth, for the sun to get stronger. And then you get about 3 weeks when it's nice before the sun's so burningly hot that you can't even be outside in the daytime. So it's the construction, it's designed to be a troublesome place. So that's glorious. That's glorious in the sense that it gives us a facility to turn to Krishna. So this is just what King Riga did. He turned to Krishna continuously, and therefore, despite his difficult situation in the body of a lizard, and what a terrible situation is to be in the body of a lizard. It's really bad. Has anyone recently been in the body of a lizard? No one will admit it to him. Huh?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. They're reptiles. Reptiles aren't very, very good. No one likes them, first of all. They eat their kids. Oh, terrible. They eat each other. In Vrindavan, we've seen this too. These lizards fight each other. These big lizards, there's one that's a little bit smaller, and they just keep, and all this big tail sticking out, and then they eat all the bugs, and then, I mean, huh?
Not nice at all.
No, it's terrible. And then you sleep half the year, and when it's cold you can't move, and when it's hot just waiting for this all day long thinking about bugs. I can't wait till the bugs come out so I can eat the bugs. And competing with the other lizards. And if you're the biggest lizard on the block, it's not so bad, you just eat them. But if you happen to be one of the, imagine being eaten by a bigger lizard than you. Sorry. Just ruined everyone's evening.
How did he actually fall into
the well? Huh?
King Riga, when he became a lizard, how did he actually fall into the well?
It doesn't describe it. It's like, how did we fall into the well? you know, somehow or another, that's the answer. And once you get in, it's hard to get out. You can't get out by yourself.
And then you get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Because of all the bugs in the well, or what? But the point being No, no matter how big a lizard you are, you're still a lizard. So the whole time he was trapped within that lizard body, he was thinking about, when will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? When will I see? His consciousness was quite focused, because that's a haitukiya pratiyata, that bhakti. It's actually, you can't stop it. It can't be stopped by anything external. It's always the internals that stop us. In other words, it can't be, the material energy cannot steal away our, like Prabhupada once said, Maya is not strong, you are weak. Sometimes he said the opposite, but it is that we, what Maya does is allure us from our desire to place Krishna in the center, and Krishna's pleasure in the center. It allures us, and we give up willingly that desire, and we get so many other desires in our heart, or even the desire to be free from all the suffering of the material world takes prominence. But for a true devotee, nothing takes prominence other than his desire to please Krishna, or to be with in Krishna's association, which means to please him, which means to serve him. So obviously part of King Rita's reaction is that he would be stuck in a well. So that was turned into something good by the grace of Krishna, by the blessings. He was a suitable recipient for the blessing of that devotee, and he carried that with him and to its perfection. So first we'll read what Prabhupada says about it in the Krishna book. Then we'll read few other things. Somehow or another, as a result of his pious activities, King Riga had aspired to see the Lord. He continued, and we discussed the comment of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that caused that desire to take birth in his heart. So he continued speaking to Krishna. My dear Lord, I had a great desire that someday I might be able to see you personally. I think that this great desire to see you, combined with my tendency to perform ritualistic and charitable activities, has enabled me to retain the memory of who I was in my former life, even though I have become a lizard, Prabhupada says, puts in here, that such a person who remembers his past life is called jatismara, which just means he remembers his last life. In modern times also there are instances of small children recalling many details of their past lives. My dear Lord, you are the Supersoul situated in everyone's heart. There are many great mystic yogis who have the eyes to see you through the Vedas and Upanishads. To achieve the elevated position of realizing that they are equal in quality to you, they always meditate on you within their hearts. But although such exalted saintly persons may see you constantly within their hearts, they still cannot see you face to face. So they spend years and years and years perfecting, 60,000 years to perfect yogic meditation in the Satyuga. They spend 60,000 years trying to perfect their samadhi of focused meditation upon the super soul in the heart, but still they cannot see you face to face. That is a very extremely rare thing. Therefore, I'm very much surprised that I am able to see you personally. So what have I done? I was a lizard, and yet I have the facility to see you right before my eyes, dear Lord. So I'm very much surprised that I'm able to see you personally. So how was it? So this is the... how was it that he was able to see the Lord personally? I know that I was engaged in so many activities, especially as a king. So I wasn't performing austerities. I didn't practice yoga. Yes, I was charitable. But how is it that this fortune has come to me? Although I was in the midst of luxury and opulence and was subject to so much happiness and misery of material existence, I was being tossed around by the waves of material existence. I wasn't like these focused yogis. But still I'm so fortunate to see you personally. As far as I know, when one becomes liberated from material existence, he can see you in this way. So actually the cause of this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and also Muchukunda says, is that when it's time, when one meets a great devotee, Bhava Apavarga, the verse begins in the earlier chapters, that one, when one meets a great devotee, then that is the cause of the ending of his material existence. Until that time, one is just playing with the products of the material world. One is just caught within the realm of matter, just interacting with matter with no ability or consciousness or to get out. No discrimination, no anything to get out. So this is the beginning of spiritual life. So he, although he doesn't answer the question, how is it possible that I'm getting to see you personally? But that is the answer. And I think this is what Chakravarti Thakur directly says it. Yeah, it should not be so. Because only one who has finished his material entanglement in the world should be able to see you. How is it that I'm able to see you? And Vishwanath directly says, here's his comment. The memory of Nriga did not openly say, even today, both in the body of a lizard and the body of a very proud demigod, which is also unfavorable for such remembrance, that memory has not been lost. Astonished at seeing Krishna, who is rarely seen, Nriga thrilled at his good fortune. Just to go from a lizard to seeing Krishna. I mean, that's better than winning the lottery. He said, how did you become visible to my eyes, since even great mystic yogis such as Shanaka can only meditate on you through the eyes of the Upanishads and their purified hearts? What is more, you are directly at Hoksaja, the personality of Godhead himself who broke the cart demon. Yet you have shown yourself to such a lowly person as me, whose intelligence has been blinded by great suffering. Furthermore, you are usually only visible to those who have destroyed the bondage of samsara. Bhava Apavarga. That's quoting from the verse of Chakunta. So why are you visible to me? And Vishwanath answers the question in one sentence. It should not be so. It happened only by the blessing of some great devotee. So this is Prabhupada used to say this again and 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 again, that this is the secret of spiritual life. says the secret of spiritual life. One has to please the devotees, become dear to the devotees, to achieve the blessings of the devotees. This Jiva Goswami talks about this, makes the point that this is where bhakti comes from. This is the cause of bhakti. And not only is the cause of bhakti, it's the cause of advancement. Once one has the seed of bhakti, one needs continuous blessings. It's like, you know, it's like that. When King Riga elected to receive the results of his impious activities, he was given the body of a lizard because of the mistake in his pious activities. Thus he could not be directly converted to a higher status of life, like a demigod, which he earned because of his pious activities, but because of his impious activities, he didn't go to that situation. However, along with his pious activities, he thought of Krishna. So his thinking of Krishna is not a pious activity, meaning not a material pious activity. It's an activity on a completely different level. Like material piety is like a material impiety. It's like plus zero and minus zero. It's all ultimately sub, auspicious, inauspicious. Material things are all ultimately on the same level because they're only in the material world, which is a prison house. So if you do something good in the prison, that gets you a little, moves you up in the world of prison life, or you do something bad, you're still in the prison. But this thinking of Krishna is of a different quality completely. Devotional service is not of this world. It is a descent. Golokera prema dana hari nama sankirtan. It is light in the realm of darkness. It is coming from a spiritual realm into the material realm. So these are the potent items of devotional service. They have a particular inherent potency. The book Bhagavatam, the holy name of Krishna, the holy devotees, the holy Dham, and the holy name. Is that five?
Deity.
The deity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually mentions those that think that the deity is imaginary, or those who think that the deity is God's grace, something material, that he's accepting our service through like an icon. They're both idolaters, he says. Both people are idolaters. They're worshipping idols. But rather, the deity has nothing to do with the material world. This is the essence of the vision of the deity, that he's Krishna himself. For him, it's not difficult to turn the material energy into spiritual energy and accept through it. So these items are light in the realm of darkness. They're facilities given to us who are blind to see the spiritual realm, although our eyes are acclimatized only to the realm of shadows. So we should take advantage of these things. What does it mean to take advantage of these things? It means to place our consciousness on them. Allow them to enlighten our darkened consciousness. So along with his pious activities, which is a plus zero, he thought of Krishna. So he was quickly released from the body of a lizard and given the body of a demigod. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, those who desire material opulence are giving the bodies of powerful demigods. That's a very, very heavy statement. Very simple, but very heavy. Because Sukadev says, Akama sava kama va moksha kama dana dita vrena bhakti yogini anjaita purusha para. That worship Krishna, whatever your desire is, and you'll have your desires fulfilled. But what is it that we desire? Something to ask ourselves when we're alone. What is it that we actually want? By worshipping the Supreme Lord, those who desire material opulences are giving the bodies of powerful demigods. Would you like the body of a powerful demigod? Yeah, well, I'll think about it. Yeah, maybe not be so bad. Just think. The weather is good. That's the first thing. You don't get. You don't have to get. You don't have a boss. You don't have to pay taxes. And the weather is good. Also.
As much as you want.
Credit cards. Credit cards don't have to get paid. The whole thing. Live really long time, healthy. Enjoy. Associate with other demigods and demigoddesses. No traffic jams. No chainsaws. So sometimes these demigods can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, but they are not yet eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the Vaikuntha planets. However, if the demigods continue to be devotees of the Lord, the next chance they get, they will enter into the Vaikuntha planets. So we'll see this with King Riga. At some point, it's time for him to go. He can't stay and be in Krishna's pastimes. This happens in Braja. The demigods, like even Lord Brahma, after he says his prayers to Krishna, and after some time, he says, can I go now? And Indra says, can I go now? Can I go? Because they don't have the qualification to enter. But having seen the Lord and understanding his position and being touched by his personal association, they will think about him. So the same thing with Manigriva and Nalakruvera. They circumambulate the Lord as great demigods and they go back to their positions. And also this King Riga now reaping the fruit of his piety as a demigod. At some point he's going to say, I'm going now. May I have your permission to go, to leave? That's quite heavy. After even recognizing who Krishna is, now it's time for me to leave. When Krishna did that too, he did something like that, but in a different way, to the child Narada, not the child anymore, but to Narada Muni in his previous life, that he sat down to meditate. Narada Muni in a lonely place, and he saw the Lord appear to him. Just for a few moments he actually saw the Lord, and then he disappeared. So instead of Narada leaving, the Lord disappeared from his vision. And very, very interesting, because he said that you have the fortune of seeing me just this one time, and you will not see me again in this life. You've seen me this one time, and you will not see me again in this life. Sudarshanam kuyogina, because there are some kasya, some impurities still in your heart. There's some perhaps there's some infection of the mode of goodness there. You like to meditate in quiet places. So you won't see me in this life again. So after this experience, Narada Muni, he practically went mad. And for the rest of his life, he had that focused in his mind. And he had the holy names continuously going on. He wouldn't do anything else. He said, I've done this. I've done this just to increase your eagerness. So what Krishna sometimes has to do just to increase our eagerness. So he has his different ways of dealing with us to increase our eagerness. That's how he dealt with Narada. And this is how he dealt with King Riga. He stuck his left hand down the well and pulled him out. So, having attained the body of a demigod, King Riga continuing to remember everything. He said, you, my dear Lord, are the Supreme Lord, and you are worshipped by all the demigods. You are not one of the ordinary living entities. You are the Supreme Person, Purushottama. You are the source of all happiness for all living entities. Therefore, you are known as Govinda. You are the Lord of those living entities who have accepted material bodies and those who have not yet accepted material bodies. You, my Lord, are infallible. Prabhupada explains, by the way, what he means when he says those who have not yet accepted material bodies. He means evil spirits and things like that, or ghostly atmosphere people. They don't have material bodies. And he differentiates between those type of entities and those who have spiritual bodies. Completely different. You, my Lord, are infallible. You are the Supreme. You are the purest of all living entities. You live in everyone's heart. So he lives in everyone's heart, but he is not contaminated by the garbage that's in everyone's heart. He remains always the purest of all living entities, because you are infallible, which means there is no fault in you, and you do not fall. You are the shelter of all living entities. Narayan, and being situated in the heart of all living beings, you are the supreme director of everyone's sensual activities, therefore you are called Rishikesh. My dear Supreme Lord Krishna, because you have given me this body of a demigod, I will have to go to some heavenly planet. So I'm taking this opportunity to beg for your mercy. I pray that I may have the benediction of never forgetting your lotus feet, no matter to which form of life or planet I may be transferred. This is how the great devotees think. This is what they want. They want to be focused in the remembrance of Krishna. Somehow or another, this is the essence of spiritual life, to somehow or another have our consciousness focused on Krishna, because in that there is no material existence anymore, practically speaking, because one is in Krishna consciousness. So therefore Mahaprabhu has said, Kirtaniya Sadahari. No matter to which form of life or planet I may be transferred. You are all pervading, present everywhere as cause and effect. These are very interesting points. You are present everywhere. There is no place where you aren't. You are everywhere. And you are present as cause and effect. What does that mean?
Present in the material world as cause and effect.
Yeah, what does that mean? What's the relevance of that?
Your world as well.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Nothing happens separate from him.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty interesting point, isn't it? I mean, a way to, because he's saying, I want to always remember you. So I say, well, I'm in the material world and Krishna hasn't put his left hand down my well and pulled me out. So how am I going to remember you? Well, here's where you are the cause of all causes. You're present everywhere as cause and effect. You're present everywhere. There's no place, no time, no circumstance where you're not there. Your power is unlimited. And you are the absolute truth. This is what it means to be the absolute truth, different from the concept of God, which God means Ishwara, the controller. But the absolute truth means the one who is present everywhere, through directly and indirectly, through his energies or whatever, that there's no place where he's not, and we just have to become conscious of that, and that way we can remember him and be conscious of him and be with him through those remembrances. You are the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead and the supreme Brahman. In other words, through Brahman, your existence is everywhere, but you are the supreme Brahman, so you're personally everywhere. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again, my dear Lord. Your body is full of transcendental bliss and knowledge, and you are eternal. You are the master of all mystic powers, therefore you are known as Yogeshwar. Kindly accept me as an insignificant particle of the dust at your lotus feet. So what does that mean? To be accepted, is it? This because Mahaprabhu phrased that too, doesn't he? What verse? Stita Duli, at the dust, I want to be situated at the dust of your feet, which means insignificant servant, basically. So this is his desire. And to be in this consciousness, one has to be in a serving mood, always, to Krishna. Why should we serve Krishna? Well, you are Yogeshwar, you're the master of all mystic powers, you're eternal, your body is full of transcendental knowledge, you're unlimitedly powerful. So then the materialistic mind thinks, well, so what? What does that have to do with me? Okay, you're unlimitedly powerful, I'm insignificant. Then? But that means we're supposed to serve him, actually. The tiny insignificant is supposed to serve the great. Not become the great, but serve the great. And this is something that isn't natural for someone who has a false ego to accept this, but yet he ends up doing it anyway. We're always serving people greater than us. We have to. We don't like it, but we have to. Because what we like doesn't really have very much to do with what goes on, in case you haven't noticed. So then, after he finishes prayers, an airplane from the heavenly planets came down for him. But we'll read about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll also read some more about his prayers, what he said. Very interesting, this King Riga. And then he leaves, and all the little boys of the Yadus, they were all there. And they saw their father, Krishna, put his hand down the well because they came to get him because there was a lizard, and the lizard turned it to a demigod, and then the demigod offers prayers to their father, and then he gets on an airplane, a flower airplane, and leaves, and they're amazed. What is Krishna going to say to them? That's also very interesting. But we'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions or comments? They have to. It's like their visa has run out.
So what's heavier?
Huh?
Which scenario is heavier? The Lord has, wouldn't it be? You were talking about being heavy situation.
Yeah. So what's the question though?
Krishna leaving Narada Muni might be heavier than a sinner.
Yeah, it would seem, because he didn't want it to happen. And the demigod said, well, I have to go. So it was on them. But Krishna did that to him. Krishna says that he will tell him, though, that at the end you'll come to me. But he already said that after the demigod. Prabhupada also said that the demigods, after they get the chance to see Krishna, then they can go home. If it's what they desire. But it does. Depends what you mean by heavier.
Well, temporarily, it may seem difficult in both situations, but it might just be temporary for the moment. But then it goes up to them.
But so which one's heavier?
Yeah.
Which one's heavier? Depends what you mean by heavier. Well, which one's harder, to be in a situation where you get all be a demigod, and you have to leave, or Krishna leaves you? Which one's heavier?
I think Krishna leaves
you. But if you're thinking of heavier meaning difficult, but if you're talking about heavier meaning unfortunate. Maybe the other one's heavier.
Demigods,
that. Yeah, that's heavier in one sense, because
it's more consequential.
More consequential. Mm-hmm. Well, the other one is more. Yeah, it's, it all depends how you define heavier.
In the case of a great soul, when Krishna departs in that way, it increases
the longing.
And also the communion.
Yeah. Well, that's what Narada Muni was always with Krishna after that, because he was always thinking of Krishna. But the demigods were in heavenly planets, and there's, surf's always good. So which one's heavier?
Does that mean that the demigods, it's more false ego based? They still have a tinge of false
ego? Narada Muni didn't, it was God.
Not Narada Muni, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Narada Muni was
he
was, but his longing is what purified him. The last traces was purified by his longing, not being able to live a moment without seeing and thinking about Krishna. That's what made him qualified to go back to Godhead immediately.
Well, raises an interesting point, because the demigods are devotees, but they are troubled by a specific misidentification.
Well, they're considered sakam.
So, yeah.
So the only way to break free of that misidentification of the false ego is to develop that longing for you.
And then the next question is, and the only way to develop that longing is
to give up our material desires and transfer them to the spiritual desires.
And the only way to give up the material desires and transfer them to the spiritual desires is
it's on the tip of my tongue.
very impolite to stick out the tip of your tongue. So keep it inside and think about it.
On a lighter note, the thing Rita is saying, you know, when he became a pungent dekika, that you are everywhere. Here and there, there are sort of, you know, visions of this in human beings, that God is only present. So in order for it says, Zahid sharab peene le masjid mein baith kar, ya wo jagah bata jahan khuda nahi. Meaning, he wants to drink. Muslims are not even allowed to drink by their religion, wine and things like that. And he's telling him, to please let me drink in the mosque. You know, I want to drink sitting here. Or you tell me, that place where there is no God. You direct me to a place where there is no God.
Yeah, there's a famous little story of Guru Nanak also. They said when he supposedly went to Mecca, and they said, oh, when you bow down, you have to bow down in this way, so you face God. And he said, well, which way do I bow down when I'm not facing God? What to do?
He said in Mecca, he said, all right, move my legs towards the side where there is no Mecca. So when his legs were moved, Mecca moved there also.
How cool is that? Okay. Yes.
Can I ask a question on Devaki's question?
Devaki's question? You don't want to ask your question?
Mm-hmm. I thought she asked.
Well,
I'll just read it. Did all the creatures in Vrindavan see Krishna with the same vision like King Nega did and got the same benefits of seeing him?
In Vrindavan? When Krishna is there? They're all not of this world because they're associating in Krishna's Leela. They're not like, well, actually some of them, the people were partial incarnations of demigods would come into the great devotees, but they were much more advanced to be able to engage in Krishna's Leela. They were much more developed in their Krishna consciousness because they saw Krishna every day. They played with Krishna, so they were much more evolved spiritually than King Riga. King Riga was so fortunate, but he got just a short darshan of Krishna.
So, other than seeing Riga, anyone else was from the original.
This wasn't in Vrindavan.
Oh, this wasn't in Vrindavan?
No, this is outside of Dwarka.
Oh,
outside of Dwarka. In the forest outside of Dwarka. Not in Vrindavan. There's no mention of any lizards in Vrindavan, except the ones that I saw. Okay. Hare Krishna.
I'm a Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah. Also, blue and pink plastic bags.
Are you going to one day live in Vrindavan?
Looking for